the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus says when you go to a banquet or a dinner party, when you give one, don't sit at the best place. Take the path of humility. Well, frankly, I find that command, that rule, hard to strike a chord here at Bethlehem. Because I've gotten to know you just in the short year that I've been here, and you're a group of very humble people. It's kind of hard to practice this. I think you already get it. We at Bethlehem are mostly coming from backgrounds that are steeped in the virtues of humility and modesty. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. We're steeped in the virtues of self-sacrifice, never pushing your way to the front of the line. We get this. After you, please, please, no. After you. I hear that all the time in this community. Thank God. You're very humble people. Oh, no. I'm okay. How are you? We say to each other. It's not about me. Please. After you. No. You first, I insist. It's how I was raised. I don't know about you. We were taught this. As a little boy, I was taught this. I imagine, and I've actually noticed, it's even more intensified for little girls. I don't know if that's true or not. It's something I've noticed. Soft-spokenness is esteemed. It's even virtue. In fact, I'd be adventurous and even say that asserting oneself too much in lots of circles around here would really be looked down upon. Don't push your way to the front. Making bold requests, offering your solid, unbiased opinion, or speaking out of turn. In other words, taking the best seat in the house. You could do it here in our midst. Nobody will stop you because this is a nice place. Nobody's going to stop you. Everybody wants to be nice, but many of us probably won't look favorably upon it. Maybe talk about you behind your back. Right? Wasn't he pushy? Oh my. So when you first, that's kind of an ethos. No, you first, please. It's about the only thing that many of us are assertive about as Christians. You first, please. Wouldn't it seem we've got this gospel lesson covered? I mean, how many of us would really walk into a dinner banquet and take the best place at the table? Of course we would give up the best seat, never even sit down there. Is there really a guiding word for us here this morning? Can we check this gospel lesson off the list and see what's coming up next week? Yeah, we've got this one covered. I was reflecting on this week. I mean, I have been struggling with this because largely we are polite, self-giving people, not self-serving at all. So I was reflecting on it this week, though, with some colleagues. I had a wise friend point out to me, but isn't our modesty, our humility, our willingness to flip the conversation or the attention so quickly on another a way of taking the place of honor? Isn't that the honorable thing to do? And so it's in a way taking a place of honor by letting ourselves be passed over. Aren't we essentially saying, I don't need your help. I don't need anyone's help, actually. Let all the eyes go on the other one, the poor one, the lame one, the blind one, the misfits. Not on me. I don't need anybody's help. Thank you very much. I'll stay right here. Let others be vulnerable. I'll sit right here. Thank you very much. Is that a way of placing ourselves in a place of honor when we say that? And we'll all admire you when you do that. Oh my gosh, what a wonderful person. Friends in Christ, this is a text again about hospitality and community formation. It's on all kinds of levels. Welcoming the stranger among us, as we talked about with the children, that's very important. And so is welcoming us among our strangeness. It's both welcoming the strangers among us and welcoming us among our strangeness. There is an important place for everyone at the banquet, and for you too, of course. Everyone is welcome. We sang it at the beginning, and it is the truth. The reign of God looks a lot more like the Department of Motor Vehicles on Monday than it does in our congregations. Everybody is welcome in the reign of God. You know this. Martin Luther King Jr. pointed that out, didn't he, about Sunday morning, though, that challenge? He called it the most segregated hour of the week. But we are all called, and we are always called, to extend God's wide welcome to everybody that we meet. Jesus couldn't be more explicit in this text here today. So we are invited again into Jesus' radical holy flipping. That's what I called it last week. It's a very Lucan idea. Jesus is always doing this. Holy flipping. He flips everything upside down. It's very Lucan, this changing of perspectives, bringing the haughty and the rich down, lifting up the poor and the lowly, the sick. Last week it was a story about the bent over woman, always bringing the outcasts into the center. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. In fact, let's try it. Let's just try a change of perspectives here this morning. Let's switch seats. Oh my goodness. Let's try it. I want to invite everybody to stand up and get your things. If you're sitting on the front, go to the back. If you're sitting in the back, come to the front. If you're on the left, go to the right. If you're on the right, go to the left. So some would go all the way to the back and go to the left side. Others, just do a little flipping in here this morning. Let's try it. This is a new perspective, yes? This is just symbolic. This is just symbolic here. But it's a way of putting our bodies into this text for today. Maybe it'll be a time you won't forget. Okay? You probably sat where you sat when you came in this morning because that's the best seat in the house for you. Right? I haven't heard of too many people that came in and said, hey, that's where I wish I could sit there, but I guess I'll sit over here. That usually doesn't happen here. There's plenty of places to sit. You sit where you want to sit. I would invite you, in your processing afterwards, maybe over lunch, ask somebody out to lunch, go out to lunch with somebody, and talk about this. But the question isn't, did you like your new perspective? Because I bet you don't. That's why you sat where you sat when you came in. I bet you don't like it. But what did you notice? That's always the great worship question. What did you notice? Talk about it afterwards, okay? What did you notice? What did you notice as you sat here? I want you to sit here for the rest of the service today. Just today. You can return to your regular seats later. But what did you notice just as you sat in a different place? What did you see? What did you hear differently? What did you notice? And again, this is just a symbol of what this text is really all about. It's just a way of getting our bodies into the text. Today we have again a glimpse of God's original intention that is of radical diversity. And of course that includes you. Of course that includes all of us. God's welcome most definitely includes you, but not just you and me and all those who look and dress and live and worship like we do. It also includes those who look and dress and live and worship very differently. God always includes the outsiders. For God, diversity, strangeness, difference, it's not a problem that creeps into our world, into our neighborhoods, into our churches. For God, it's the original state of things. It's the original intention. Radical diversity. We've gotten away from that. That was really eye-opening to me to remember in the story of Genesis and the creation, God creates all this diversity, radical diversity, all kinds of things, all kinds of people, and somehow we got ourselves all segregated and broken up. The same thing happens again in the New Testament, in the book of Acts on Pentecost. Radical diversity at the beginning. Remember all those different types of people that were all gathered together in one place, and then we somehow got away from that. So this is about coming back to that original state of things, that original intention. Our farmers and scientists warn us of the dangers of monocultures, and they extol the virtues of cross-pollinating. That's what we need to do a little more of, cross-pollinating. That's what this text is really all about. Mixing it up. Mixing people up. And you're doing that with your bodies as you just move around to a different place here this morning. Cross-pollinating. Yeah, the reign of God. The reign of God is like this lush, colorful garden with all kinds of different smells. With bees moving from here to there to there. The top seat to the lowest seat to the middle seat. And seating doesn't really matter, of course. What matters is all the mixing, all the learning from one another's different perspectives, all the celebrating and welcoming and eating. We got a glimpse of that on Friday night over at Melanie's house. I can't find Melanie anymore. There she is, right in front of me. That was some good mixing, just a little bit of hearing each other's stories and seeing pictures from our summer adventures. Just a glimpse of this mixing. This is a good thing. God's banquet is a rich feast of foods and drinks, laughter and children and stories and songs and dessert. Cross-pollinating, you see? Cross-pollinating. It's a moment right now in our whole church body, in the ELCA, by the way. We're starting to break down as a monoculture, I think, a little bit. Little baby steps as a triculture, even. We're starting to cross-pollinate more and more as we talk with one another, talk to those who are different. Do you know that the ELCA publishes an African-American hymnal? And that's not as a way of reaching out and being more welcoming. That's because that's the original state of things. We need that. There's a hymnal in Spanish, too, and we've got more work to do when it comes to that. That's why we sing in different languages sometimes, even if that's not our native language. We've got a joint declaration of justification with our Roman Catholic siblings. Did you know that? We've got a call to common mission with the Episcopalians. You could have called, I shouldn't tell you this now, you could have called an Episcopalian priest to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, according to the rules right now in the ELCA. Did you know that? That's how much we do cross-pollinating. I shouldn't have told you that now. We've got open dialogues going with Methodists and Presbyterians and Moravians. We've got interfaith dialogues and relationships and educational materials committed to honoring our Jewish and our Muslim and our Buddhist and our Hindu neighbors. Mixing and mingling, do you see? Cross-pollinating, it doesn't make us weaker. It makes us stronger. It helps us to celebrate God's original creation, God's original intention. Because diversity, it's not just some PC goal for the future. It's the original state of God's creation way back at the beginning. And isn't it interesting, as we do this, how the ELCA's budget is declining? Because when we do that, some people hit their limit. That's too much. I can't welcome that group of people. We all hit our limit. We all have limits. I can't go past that. Where does the conversation stop for you? Where is God nudging you to grow? Maybe that's Jesus inviting you this morning into maybe a new perspective. You think about a new perspective as you're sitting there. Maybe you're a very welcoming person. You're fine with all kinds of difference, all kinds of different people. And maybe the invitation for you is letting yourself be served. Maybe that's the real challenge. Maybe that's where God is nudging you. Can I let somebody else take care of me? That's a hard one. I think that's a really hard one. I think that's really our challenge for most of us here. Some are fine letting others take care of them. And so they've got a different challenge. They like to be served by other people. If that's you, then you've got some work to do in a different area. But I think for most humble church people like ourselves, the challenge is letting ourselves be served, letting ourselves be cared for. That might be the challenge for you. God gives you a place. God brings you a plate and a drink and a family. God's mission is for you too, and that mission goes on. That mission goes on despite our cutoffs and our limits. The welcome of God extends always, with or without our participation or permission. This is tough work. This is really tough work, like I said, with the kids. Hospitality is tricky. It's tricky just with our friends and our family, our church neighbors. It's a lot of work, this cross-pollinating. I'm all talk up here. Hot air. It's tough to do this, though. It's tough to get down on the ground and learn and live and love strangers among us. But it's the right work to do. Jesus calls us into it again. It is good work to do. And friends in Christ, we do it together as a community of faith. We do this hospitality together. Let's stick together as we reach out. Let's stick together as we reach out, as we struggle to give that person who is the most challenging for you, a top seat at the table. Because, like it or not, God already has welcomed that one who's the hardest for you to welcome. God's already given that person a good seat in the house. And God gives you a place too, there's no question. Thanks be to God for these new perspectives, for new opportunities both to serve and also to be served, for those of us who might glory in our upstanding humility. Today's a new day of grace. Let's eat. Let's party. Let's sing. The banquet is here and the banquet is now. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
The Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.